And for the sake of you tapers, we were not able to tape last Tuesday evenings. And so I guess that'd be the 12th. And so we will review very briefly what we covered last Tuesday evening and then go on in our study. But for the sake of our tapers, we will review some of the things that we covered, the highlights of last week, since you will not get that tape. The tape did not make through. For the sake of you tapers also, we are going to spend a few moments in some church business, but since you are part of it, we're going to put it on the tape. So let's move into that aspect of tonight. Jim Passmore, Dr. Passmore, and I went to the probate court yesterday, and it was quite an adventure. I want to say right off the cuff, it's just personal. If you don't have a will, make one. You know, if all you have is a stack of old LPs and you care about it, make a will. It is just unbelievable. The turmoil, the tension, the heartaches and the hurts and of people that of family members and people when you do not make a will and have things worked out as to what should happen. And so I just encourage you to do that. It was just a long deal, several hours. Jim and I, when we walked out, we looked at each other. Now, what really did they end up saying? they spent some time. I don't even know how a certain person got involved, but they were supposed to get $5,000, and the judge and people worked at that. They spent time, and I guess you got to do it, but I didn't realize it. He's kind of been involved in anything like this on lawyer's fees, on working all of that out, and where that's coming from. So they got all of that. The representative of the Texas Attorney General's office was there. A lawyer for the family was there, and they sat at the tables, and the rest of us all sat behind the barrier. And so it just continued to progress and different concepts, ideas. And then finally the Texas Attorney General's office representative gave his what he would, first of all, they established that Calvary Faith is defunct, and there are legal ways that they determine that and are able to establish that it is defunct, not just by the death of William and Mrs. Smith, but by just activities that are not done. So they establish, okay, it is now a defunct, a non-profit organization. So with that done, now they have to distribute all of the holdings, both monetary and real property of the defunct organization, Calvary Faith. And in the process of all of this, Jeff, you had asked Sunday, why did we even get $300,000? And others want to know, why did it end up? What they ended up doing, let me start off with that first. The final decree is what we talked about Sunday, what I was told by the Texas Attorney General office, John Vincent, what he was going to recommend. And Jim and I, the more we sat there, the more we realized that generally a court will go by the Texas the Attorney General's office recommendation. It would have been very difficult to have countered what he had to offer, the way the whole system works. And what it is going to come down to is that all the real property will be given to Dallas Theological Seminary, specifically the foundation part of Dallas Theological Seminary. They will give to us, to Spring Valley Bible Church, $100,000 a year for 3 years on June 1st of each year. And we will, as part of the whole agreement, we can stay here as long as up to 6 months, I think from April 1st. That really, that part wasn't decreed, but 6 months after the foundation takes possession, which will be in about a week or so, which will be about the 1st of April. And when they take possession, then we will have 6 months from that point of staying here, no rent, no charge in rent, just take care of the building and our bills. And so that is the status of the final, the bottom line of what they're going to do with everything. And then they work through, explain why, Jeff, you had asked where we came. I think they felt that we should get something with the longevity of being here. I think they felt we should get something because it seemed to have been the family's desire that we have the property. And they weren't going to do that. And I sensed, and I think Jim agreed, that the Attorney General's office just felt we were too small to be given so much. And they wanted it to be given to something like Dallas Seminary that would just give it to a lot of churches. That's why they didn't just give it to the seminary, but to the foundation, which supports Bible churches. So that seems, that came out because he said they do this, and Calvary Faith was a nonprofit. I mean, not a nonprofit, it was a nominational church. So that's why they went there. In light of previous discussions that I've let you in on, the one adopted daughter, and all of the children are adopted, I didn't know they were all adopted. One of the daughters got up, the one that wanted it to go, everything to go to the Mormons, got up and got on the stand and cried, and she wanted to go to the Mormon church and at least some of it to go to the Mormon church. And so the lawyer of the family asked the guy from Dallas Seminary, put him back up on the stand, and will you receive and consider her request? And of course he's going to say yes there. We were driving home and I said, fat chance Dallas Seminary giving the Mormon church one dime. And the Attorney General's office, I was surprised he even counted her by saying that Calvary Faith is non-denominational, William Smith was non-denominational, our church is non-denominational, therefore all funds should go to non-denominational churches. With that in mind, he really counted her in a sort of a legal way. So they were not bound, they being the foundation of Dallas Seminary, not bound to give anything, but they would consider anything that's said. Her brother, Mrs. Smith's brother, got on the stand and talked about the history of Calvary Faith. It's how they had founded and a little bit of that. And they determined they couldn't find any board members, they couldn't find any church members, and they had looked. And so it was just a defunct organization and corporation. All said and done, the family will get nothing, and out of anything, and so that's pretty much that part of it. Now, before we go on from that point on, do you have any questions about what happened yesterday? Yeah.
Well, they
could have. They could have given us nothing.
Right.
And they could have given us the property, or at least this property.
I understand, though, when
yeah.
There's a lot more property in God. But just this piece, and then the other yeah. Goes to another business.
I couldn't have divided it among them. I don't know. To answer your question, they probably could have, but as I found out, we could not have even had a lawyer because we really were there by, and we had no legal right of being there. Because all we were, and everybody made it clear legally, we were just the leaseholders of this property. Leases of this property, and we had no legal right to even have an attorney there or anything. Because I called John Vincent and I asked him, I said, now I know that you don't want any more trouble than is possible, but should I get a consultant attorney and have one there? And he said, Herman, I'm not your lawyer. I can't advise you, but I can just tell you this. You're only there by invitation. Whether or not your lawyer would even be heard would be strictly up to the judge. Because there's no, you have no legal ground for being there. No judicial ground. So that's how that was decided. Amen?
Any liabilities to the state?
By liabilities.
Anything that the state got?
Just the lawyer's fees. And they had that all worked out, how much all of that was. And the law boy, they make sure they get there. Now, I'm sorry?
Did the Dallas Seminary
have? Not legal.
No.
They had the man that was the president of the foundation part of Dallas Theological Seminary, but not any legal representation. No. He was just there in case anybody wanted to ask a question, which they did. They wanted to find out what Dallas would do with the contribution of it all. And he went through how they established churches and things like that. Yes? Yeah, that is their intent.
Yeah.
Their intent right now, at least this is what he said. Their intent, right? Their intent is to sell all the property. This property and the property that the house is on. As quickly as possible. If we leave sooner than 6 months, they'll sell it sooner than 6 months, he told me afterward. That is their intent. Yeah. There's a lot of things that they're not aware of that I am, and Jim, because the things we've had did with City Hall, they think you just fill it in like over here and you can build like over there. But they don't know that the line cuts this way and you cannot build as much. But all that's theirs, and I can't get involved in that. But that's what they plan on doing is selling it.
Mm-hmm. When will we receive the first payment?
June 1. Each year, June 1 is when with the judge decree. Yes.
Do you think it would be worth contacting the foundation head and asking if it could be on a, as soon as you tell us to get out, we'll get out, rather than us vacating it?
You mean long, extend it longer than 6 months?
Yeah, because, I mean, they think they're
going to
sell it immediately, that they might be able to, but then again, they might
not be able to. You know,
then this would just stand vacant.
Yes. I definitely will do that. I definitely will do that. Definitely. He told me he would call me as soon as it was legal, the title was legally turned over to them, meaning the judge signed everything, because they had a lot of things they had to rewrite and stuff like that, little things. But he told me afterward, gave me his card. He doesn't for me to call him, but he said he would call us as soon as he received title to everything and talk with us. Now, let's go to the next thing just for our discussion here tonight. 300,000, 6 months sounds like a long time, and it isn't. 300,000 sounds like a lot of money, but it is not very much money. So when you really get down to things, it isn't very much. They had me get up on the stand for just a few moments to just give the history of our church that I graduated from Dallas Seminary. And I just told the judge, we don't want to go in debt. And I don't want to do that. So, but at the same time, I don't think it is prudent at all to use the money for renting and lease. And then when that's gone, it's gone and we're really in trouble. So as you pray, as you look, along with realtors, because all of you driving around and seeing things, have your eyes open for almost anything. Everything from a empty church to an empty storefront type building. I'll tell you what, but to that kind of amount of money, because it isn't a whole lot of money, something like a house that had ample parking area that was in a commercial type zone, like there are some houses on one of those initial streets and or several streets in McKinney Richardson in the downtown area. I just drove around these big houses, but they're in a commercial zone. They're turned into law offices and they're turned into various things. So be on the lookout for something like that. a house that has a ample area of parking in where you could turn into parking, and I have no problem doing that. I just think we should really strongly consider getting something, not use the money for rent, because once that's gone, it's gone, and we're barely making it now with what we have. As I told you Sunday, we were close to getting in trouble anyway. Yes, Judith. Judith, what I told him Sunday morning, whoever finds the best deal, it'll be in their neighborhood. So, to your best interest, do this for you. Whoever it's found. So, whoever finds the best deal. Yes, Larry. We're going to have a congregational meeting and put together a committee.
Okay.
Yes. No, you're down to where we are now. Now we are down to what you're talking about now. The legal part is over.
So the good news is, if we're moving on, we're moving up.
Yes.
We're moving to a neighborhood. We're moving to people.
Yes.
Or, you know, even though we can take a hold of who we are, think about the neighborhood that we possibly
move
into.
Yes.
Well,
and I think.
It should be thankful.
Yeah, it should be as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I said that, Larry, in humor, whoever finds it. And Tish said, well, how about Sadler? I can buy one in Sadler. And I don't think we get very many people from our church driving up there on Tuesday and Wednesday and Sunday morning. So I say that in a humor, but in a serious way, too. Like if... Like Rick...
Yeah, we can just have church all day.
Yeah. Rick Howland and I were talking. We'd get one up there on Custer and Plano. There's about three or four little churches right there together. Buy one of them things. So, you know, if you find one, it's building. You can go in, just to give you ideas that have already come across in talking to real estate people. You buy a building at a decent price and go in and put your walls where you want them. Do the same thing with a house. Let's say we even found a good house and that would serve all of our purposes, but we had to put a, you know, $15,000 roof on it. That's not bad if you, you know, if you paid the $150,000 and then $50,000 for renovation. So I'm just saying we're open to a lot of different things. And so if you just use your, we're limited only by your great creativity. Of course, we're talking about God. As I said Sunday morning, this came out of left field to me. I personally, I thought we weren't going to get anything. The land, I just didn't think we were going to get the land by talking to one of the attorney general officers, Ms. Acock, who I met there and was a very nice lady. But I could just tell she one that didn't really want to and give us. I didn't plan on anything, and so I just thought it was either going to get the land or not. And this is left field. $300,000, $100,000 a year for 3 years. Is a left field thing for me. So I just think God's already got it picked out, and he'll use one of you to be the one that will find it. Duhan was in 75 selling insecticide, and as I told y'all, this our street dead end wasn't as a wide open five lanes and all that like it is now. It was just dead end right in front of the church, a rock street, and he just drove down and saw the church and sought out William Smith. And no, as a matter of fact, that is not the way it happened. He was selling insecticide at a funeral home where they worked and started talking with them about our church. And Mrs. Smith told him about the building. He came over and looked at it, and then I came over and looked at it. Then I dealt with William Smith. And so we did that. And that's how it came about. So, Amber, you could find it riding your bicycle around the block. So, it's just anybody, God can use anyone to pull it together and help us find where he wants us to be, because it's open for a lot of things. Yes?
Are we allowed to make any furnishings like the piano?
Oh, yeah. All of the piano goes with us. I don't know about the pews. We didn't buy them. I don't think they, you know, seminary may want to sell them. So, but. Christians are ours. Yeah, if we needed them, we could probably buy them from Dallas. If they didn't just say take whatever you want, you know, they may just do that. But no, the piano is our, speakers, all of that. That whole system is ours. I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever. So, no. I'm sorry. If they build it up. If they build it up. No, you can sell. They can sell the property, but the money would have to go to a non-profit organization. That's why they're giving it to Dallas Seminary. If they're not giving it to us, let's say they give it to us and we sold it. Now, the land can be sold, but the money has to go to non-profit. That's why the family couldn't have it. Yeah. I think so. It's going to be. They're going to charge a lot more than what they're giving us. And they debated over the value of the property, of this property. The Attorney General's office, didn't he say six?
Well, he said $600,000 unimproved. And then if they ever did build it up, he thought $2 million.
$2 million. Yeah. If they built it up. And. But I don't think they took into, they got with the city and found out what I can tell them about what can be built here and not built here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if the person who has this property then just bought and added this to it, then they wouldn't have to build that up, would they? Because that would give them this.
No, you cannot build unless you build up the street level. That's a city.
Well, even that
That's city.
There.
Any property.
Ah.
You cannot build without, if you'll notice the house,
yeah.
Two lots over, is the little river around it, but the house is up. You've got to build street level.
Yeah.
No.
I know. In condos, I dealt with JPI, which is huge, with all these apartments, and when we're dealing with them, they got so much money, it doesn't matter.
No.
I was in negotiations with them over some property for the longest time, and I am amazed. I'm only getting to the tail end of all of it. I'm amazed that we got 300.
I am too.
I mean, that is a shock.
Yeah. Jeff asked, why are we even getting that? And I think they're just being nice.
My understanding of
here, I'm sorry?
Leased the building.
Yes.
Right, never
owned it. Yes. No. I'm amazed. Yeah. They didn't have to do that at all.
No.
They didn't have to do that at all. I think they did it out of a respect of the family's desire that we get the property. And since they weren't going to do that, they threw us a bone.
We're glad for the bone.
We're glad for the bone. We're thankful for the bone. Huh? And so, but I think that's why we got that.
I think it's so good to know that we've got something in the future that is ours.
Yeah.
You know, that belongs to the
future. Yes. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Yeah. And that'll give us that good security that we need, because I think if we had a place of our own, versus we'd have to watch everything, but as I said two Sundays ago, we were getting very close. We were getting very close to 10,000. And I'm going to let you all know each time it's down, but, and that's without having to pay any rent. And as I said, and I'm going to do it almost at every meeting, so don't let it become dormant in your ear, but if we do move and get, or when we do and find a place, I really am going to try to lead in such a way that this does become an acting church. I want everybody, every one of you have a gift. It isn't going to be me doing everything. I'm not going to just do all everything and talk to Ian McGrath and do all of that. I want somebody to take care of missions. And I want to look just prayerfully for somebody to deal with our music, work with Wes on music, the nursery, the children's, the publications, get back to functioning as an assembly, not just come in for Bible study. And I'm very serious about that, we go in somewhere and get some local assembly energy going as far as the outreach of the church. and I feel very strong on that. Okay, be in prayer, and we will see what God has in store and where the store is, and what God is going to be doing. Yes, please, please, please. What's going on is almost every one of these are congregational meetings, and we're anybody's free to contribute, ask questions, talk. Absolutely, Judith, anything. Yes.
So that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to find something to do.
No.
I mean, it could be another God thing that we do. But in the interim, say 6 months is up, then what have you gone that far to say we're going to leave something during the interim time? Or, you know, because we want the money, we want and sure savings and not use that, but we want to find a building.
Okay, two things, two ways I want to answer you. First of all, yes, I have thought that far ahead. Gary and I talked Sunday about not rushing into anything right away. And since Gary and I talked Sunday, and already thinking that way, and number two, I don't want to have to, if at all possible, not put this money that we're getting from them into lease. I don't want it just gone one day and we put it into lease. And without me in any way approaching Tish Roisin, she said that if we haven't found a place by the time we're up here, that we could use her office. Now, Tish's office is built where she's at the kind of on a corner, and if I drew it like this, she has two offices. And this part is set up for mostly for assembly meeting when they have meetings there with her organization. And so she said we could meet here and they'd have a space for the, we did this one time for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
About a month and a half, and a little children area here and a nursery area here. And then here, right here is where our, tape and publication department is right now. And I point that out in case anybody wants to come volunteer and help us work. And so, and then there's an area here, but so close to where we'd be teaching. I'm sorry? This is Arapahoe. And the address? 525 West Arapahoe. And if you get the idea here, this right here is central. So I guess it's about a mile and a half.
It's a half a mile west.
Half a mile. So that's, yeah. So yeah, here's so Custer would come here. So it's a half a mile. Half mile from 75. I'm sorry? Well, yeah, depending on how you're driving here, looking at it.
No, that's fine. Yeah. No, I see no idea.
Yeah. So and so it's yeah, it should be on this side. Yes.
But not to, you know, I'm excited to make this. I appreciate the desire not to spend it on running news and all, but I want us to do that. But it seems as though we still could be actively keeping the place.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to.
Because I think that it's important that we, that's like I said, see this as an opportunity for us to begin to build. And, you know, the two of us that are here right now, there's others that just come on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. We got real estate. I've started talking to real estate people already.
Yeah.
To be on look to look out and see what this found. Yes.
Would you rule out a lease purchase?
No, I wouldn't rule out a lease purchase. I wouldn't rule out. I wish I didn't have that here. I wish I'd have done a lease purchase here, but didn't. You know, I would not rule that out. And
I did this recently again. I did a website search for church defense. Have they done that?
I've got one report of it, yeah.
Because I did it, I got to Phoenix.
You got what?
I got in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona? That's a little bit far to drive. Love the weather.
I thought it was in Central, so that we could go Friday and come back.
So, no, we're looking. We're looking. But the question was if we didn't.
Yeah,
if God, yeah, that was the main thing. Yes, we do. And Tish said we could stay there, you know, without paying the lease. However, you know, there'll be complications when she has her events and things, and she gets, of course, the priority. We'd have to work around her schedule in that. Okay. Any other questions on not only yesterday in the court, but where we are now from this point on as an assembly of believers? On our website, no. I'm sure Over a Million has not done that yet. So everyone be in prayer, first and foremost, and then secondly, in regards to just be on the look. You never know what you might pass and what you might see. Just to let you know, there's a little church building not being used on the corner of Spring Valley and Monford, just about 0.2 miles after you turn right. If you wouldn't have Spring Valley, take a right on Monford. It's up on a little hill, a little church up there that's not being used because the church that was there has built a mammoth building just behind it, way over on behind it. And what they're planning on doing with the unoccupied little church, I have no idea. But I drove by and looked at it. And, I like their deal. It was at night when I drove by. But, you know, they have certain light. And they had one room that was a workout gym. And, man, this church has it going there. I guess to do penance, you got to go work out in the gym or something. I don't know. So you just never know what you'll find, a house, a building. We just don't know what we'll find. And we're open to just anything that might come along that God would open our eyes to. Anything else? Okay. Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, we need to keep praise movement in the prayer.
Yes. Ray, I don't know if many of you know Ray. Some of you I know him. I've known Ray for a long time. do we know today what his problem is yet, Jerry? Still don't know. What are the symptoms?
I guess his body feels like it's either leg goes asleep, kind of numb, feeling like that, and a little blackout.
Wow. He's a Presbyterian? Okay, thank you. Yes?
Mackenzie's caregiver also a friend of mine. Some of that gallbladder surgery.
Okay. First name? Okay. Prayer for her. Yes?
My really good friend, Amy.
Amy?
She and her family are going through a lot of different things.
Okay, let's be in prayer for Amy. And people, I encourage you often to be in prayer for one another. Let me include, be sure that you remember to include in that many of our tapers. The Shoops always are requesting our prayers in their little notes of how they appreciate the teaching. There are so many different people. There's a pastor who doesn't have a church, and now they've reinstated him in the ministry type aspect of it, and he's going through a great deal, but they love what we're studying here. There's just a lot of families that are in the listening and having just all kinds of testings and things that are bringing them very close to listening to the tape. So please include tapers in regard to praying for one another. Okay, anything else? Yes. Yes. Okay. And we continue to be in prayer. How are his parents holding up?
They seem to be doing very well. They really do.
Okay, people. Let's.
Yes,
be in prayer for the parents, always. All right, let's go into prayer and prepare ourselves for study. as I said, we did not get last Tuesday night's taped. And so what I want to spend, we don't have much time now, but I want to just flow through some of what we did last week for the sake of you tapers, so that you don't miss what we did. And so you won't have, if you go by dates, you go by number, you won't even know. But if you go by dates, there will be no class for last Tuesday evening. That'd be the 12th. So let's prepare ourselves for the opening up of our eyes by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we spent some time studying your declaration of what will happen when a Christian desires to be rich. We take these things, Heavenly Father, as a sober warning in our walk in the Spirit. But Heavenly Father, as we open the Scriptures tonight, looking at the clock of time and what you're going to do and what is going to happen, what joy, what confidence it gives our hope that you have all things already worked out. You have not hidden these things from us, but you have opened them up to us. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes and that studies like this, Father, will give us as a corporate body of believers a calm assurance that even in the uncertainty of where we will be, you already know. You've already worked it out. All we have to do is take our steps of faith, walk where you would have us to be and to worship. You've already worked out where we're going to meet, how we're going to purchase the place, who's going to come up with the place. You have all of these things, these details. And Father, when we study Revelation, it just calms our soul, even in major things about where we will assemble, right down to our marriages and our homes, our friendships and personal relationships. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are in your Son's precious name. Amen. Hey, the Bible refers to the seven-headed dragon or beast three different times. And there's a very important reason and very important thing going on in that reference of the seven-headed dragon. They are each different, yet they are each similar. So they are different yet similar, or similar yet there's some difference in them. And we spend a great deal of time going over those differences. And we spend some time on noting them now. We saw in Revelation 12, 3, the seven-headed dragon is the red dragon in full power. And then in 13, 1, it's the beast, the seven-headed beast. And this is the dragon, but in limited power, in the form and the power of a man. And then in chapter 17, 3, he comes back. He's mentioned, the seven-headed is mentioned again. And this is the combined power of the dragon, both his supernatural power and all of the human power pulled together. Now, this is paralleled by the person of Jesus Christ. And these are very important. These three are very important because there are three significant battles that you need to be aware of. There is, first of all, the prehistoric battle. So battle number one is the prehistoric battle. So here's the prehistoric battle, and in this battle, the seven-headed dragon is in full form, so we'll put the dragon here, but also Jesus Christ in his deity is here. Then we have the second battle, and this is the cross in the history of man. This is before, number one is before man came on the scene. The dragon is in limited power. He's in limited power, so he is functioning, but in limited power. Jesus Christ is functioning as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, in limited power. The battle number three is the battle of Armageddon. And the battle of Armageddon, the seven-headed dragon is back in full power in functioning through man, but Jesus Christ is in full power as the Son of Man, and the Son of God in one person with all of his power as deity and his, in his humanity. The humanity that the dragon takes up in the battle, the seven nations, the seven heads represent the seven nations and their rulers, and you have to always think that way. The seven-headed dragon and the beast, you have to think in terms of not only empires, but also their rulers. The dragon would never take the form of man. He would never lower himself to that level, whereas Jesus Christ lowered himself to the level of humanity and became a member of the human race. And so we have these three battles that are very important, not only in the book of Revelation, but really throughout the whole Bible. They become very important. Jesus Christ wins all three battles. We did not get to see the prehistoric battle. We did see the cross battle, and we will all observe the battle of Armageddon. And Jesus Christ wins all three. We worked in here the Alpha and the Omega. He wins all of them. That brought us to Revelation 17:4, and here we deal with the harlot, the great whore on the beast. And so let's quickly read tonight verse 4. Remember verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. So here's a woman. Now remember, the woman is both a city and she's the woman. So the woman is a city and the, and to remember that, look at your last verse of verse 7, chapter 17, and the woman whom you saw is the great city, Babylon. So we just, I'm going to go through this quickly tonight. We did this last week, but we don't have the tape on it. So we do want it on tape as part of the series. So verse 3, and he carried me, John, this the angel carried John away in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. So there's the red beast tying it in with the seven-headed dragon of Revelation 12, full of blasphemy names, having seven heads and 10 horns. And we spent 2 weeks ago dealing with all the descriptions, the various descriptions, the three different descriptions, how they're similar, but they're different. And the difference is important. You got to pay attention to those differences. Now that brings us to verse 4. Then the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones, pearls, having her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of unclean things of her immorality. Do you get the picture here very quickly? The appeal of a very beautiful woman, the appeal dressed up and very gorgeous. Well, this is religion. She is religion. And I'll end tonight, like we ended last week, on describing what a prostitute and why she is called the prostitute or the great whore here. Most appealing. Religion will be and always is most appealing to the world, believers and unbelievers. Verse 5, her title tells us where she is from, Babylon, and what she will do, religion. Verse 5, and upon her forehead. Notice the forehead is very important through the book of Revelation. We'll come back and put a lot of that together. Upon her head, a name was written, a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of abominations of the earth. She's got a pretty big forehead. And so this was on her forehead, her name. Now, very quickly, where do we first learn? See, we're going to see all of her killings, slaughterings, and how she's going to kill Christians, all the things that are going on. It's going to be a horrible time, and people, oh, it's just so horrible. People, that's religion. Where do we first see religion in the Bible? Cain. Cain is our very, really first picture of what religion is like. And we won't turn there, but we just have to remember that Cain offered God. Cain didn't just walk away from God. Cain wanted a relationship with God on the basis of his own works, the basis of his own doing. That's what religion is. Religion is, I will do for you, God. It may be a long list of it may be psychological, verbal, mental. It may be repentance, confession. But I'm offering you, God, something from me, religion, performance, the performance standard, which the Mosaic Law greatly encourages. Then God said no to Cain. Cain kills Abel. Haven't you ever asked yourself, why did he kill Abel? What did Abel do to him? We don't have any recording that Abel went up and said, yeah, 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 God took mine. We have nothing recorded like that. We have nothing recorded or even implied that Abel wanted that God took his gift and that made Cain mad. No, people. Religion cannot stand grace through faith. It's got to kill it. It's got to destroy it. It's got to stop it in any number of ways. The way the church does it today, the way Christians do it today, is with their tongue. We assassinate. John, 1 John points out, we murder with our tongue. We kill each other. Because you see, if any time there is grace and faith, the grace through faith being taught, it exposes the work system. If somebody says, you've got to do this for God, you've got to repent, you've got to confess, you've got to feel sorry, you've got to join a church, you have to be good for a certain while, you've got to be moral, you've got to keep the law, you've got to, whatever they're doing. And someone else comes along and says, no, all you have to do is just trust Him, the one He sent for salvation, the one He sent for spirituality, that's all you have to do. It exposes their work. It limits, and everybody can see, well, they're telling me I have to do something, they're saying just trust Him. So it exposes them, so they've got to kill it. They've got to stop it. So that's the first place that we saw. Now, another name, the first place that we saw world religious system was on the plains of Shinar, ancient Babylon. Shinar means two rivers are divided, cast off, that type of thing. It is the ancient name of Babylon, the land through which the rivers Tigris and Euphrates flow. You remember how important Euphrates is from Genesis chapter 2. These are two of the four rivers that flow out of the Garden of Eden. And boy, when we get back and I start describing the location of the Garden of Eden in reference to the earth, you may have to do some heavy thinking about it, but these two rivers flow out of it to the earth. And these two rivers are important to Scripture. Now, in the land of Shinar, ancient Babylon would come forth, and there would be a dictator that will come from this area. His name is Nimrod, N-I-M-R-O-D. He will build a tower that will reach to heaven. Now, Nimrod means self-ruling will, rebellion, or anarchy. This is the rule of the flesh. This is the way we all are in our natural state. We are all Nimrod until we come to God by faith alone in Jesus Christ and then live by faith alone and not by our self-will ruling. Nimrod is a great hunter. Why do I point this out? He lives by courage. He lives by might. He lives by being more clever than the things that he hunts and kills. So the religion is characterized this way. Strong, mighty, as opposed to what? To the weak person who will come to God and say, I submit everything, I trust you. People, that's why faith is so difficult for people to accept. Because what you've got to do, if you're going to walk by, if you're going to be saved by faith, I offer God nothing. I can do nothing, I offer Him nothing. I simply trust in the one that He gives. If you're going to live by faith, and not by your performance, not by your do and do, not by performing the law or repentance or confession or promising Him you'll never do it again or feeling sorry and all the guilt, all the shame, all the stuff we're studying and stress, anxiety, and depression. I just trust you. I trust the one you send. Humility. Totally weak. Whereas religion is built on strong people doing things for God. You've got to perform for God. So this is one of the great problems, the will of the flesh, wanting to do what it wants to do. But God is not looking for that. He is looking for those who will give up their control to Him and just trust Him for wisdom, power, and guidance. Please open the scriptures to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Now, I'm going to have to read this quickly this week, but let's look at Genesis chapter 11 so that at least on the tape we have this in our flow of the great whore. Now, the great whore is Babylon, organized religion, worldwide religion. So let's take a look. Genesis chapter 11, and let's read from verse 1. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now, the whole earth was used, the whole earth used the same language and the same words. So the language is the same, and everyone's speaking the same language. And it came about as they journeyed east. Isn't that interesting? East. East is very important in the whole flow of Scripture. If you look at the structure of the temple, you have in the westernmost part of the temple is the Holy of Holies. Then as you move east and you have the room where the table of showbread, the bread, the light, the lampstand is. Then you have the outer court where the altar is. And then you have the women's court, the Gentiles court. Everything keeps moving east. And it's very important through the history and the study of Scripture. And sometime when maybe when we're in verse by verse, we'll take a flow of the eastward movement and what goes on with that. Okay. So verse 2, and it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled down there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. And let, you hear it? Let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. Now we have time we talk about why that's given in the scriptures and how important that is, how weak what man builds is. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city. And then here we start the whole flow of city theology in the Bible. And a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, make for ourselves man. Not God's name, let us make a name. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, sometime we might come back and slow down and how they come to that conclusion. All I want to do is read and give you the flow. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city. Got to get the idea he couldn't see it from heaven. But that's not what's going on. Anyway, the Lord came down and the tower, to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. That's why Texas and Dallas, we built Texas Stadium with a hole, so God didn't have to come down. He could just see it straight from heaven, look right down, and see the Cowboys play. Okay, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now, see, God gave them something wonderful so they could work together, and this is what they do with it. This is just like man. God, every time God gives us something wonderful, we're going to mess it up. We're going to mess it up. He gives us this whole prophecy of what's going to happen, the rapture and all these things. What has the church done with it? We divide. All the people that believe in pre-rapture, post-rapture, no rapture, mid-rapture, we divide up and we're right, you're wrong, and if you don't see it our way, you're just totally out of line with the whole. And why is it there? Comfort. Comfort one another with these words. Courage. No, we messed it up. You can bank on it. God gave us male and female. It's great. Sexual relationship between a husband and wife, absolutely phenomenal. Look what we've done with it. We messed it up. Everything God gives and wonders, you can count on it. We're going to mess it up. That's why He made salvation so simple, so you can't mess it up. All you have to do is just trust Him. That's all you have to do. Okay, so here again, this is what they do with it. Behold, verse 6, behold, they are one people, And they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. That's in their own thinking. It's statements like that that gets a lot of people in trouble. Come. This is God. Trinity. Come, let us, Trinity, go down there, confuse their language, Holy Spirit involved, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another. So it's going to come down and give everybody a different language. So they will not understand one another's speech. So what happens is, verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad. All right, what happened was we're all in this big area. You can imagine a great big area. And all of a sudden, we all speak a different language. So what you would do is babble in your tongue, in your language, and somebody over there would say, I understand you. So you'd hear a language you understand. Ah, you're me. Ah, you're me over here. You know, everybody speaks this over here. And everybody speaks that over there. And pretty soon, everybody finally found everybody. I really don't want to be with that group. I'd really like, but I can't understand them. See? So now what happens? We all want to move to our area. Everybody speaks one way, we're all going to move over. Let's go over here. Everybody, let's go over there. And so we start traveling. Traveling all over the world. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the old earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel. You can babble, just babbling is what it sounds like. Kind of like an orchestra when they're warming up. They're getting all their instruments and their string instruments and pipe instruments. Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything. So all these people are talking. It sounds like a bunch of babbling. But it isn't. Because I'm listening for somebody that I understand what they're saying and they understand what I'm saying. Therefore, its name was called Babel. And this is the great whore. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, let's go back to Revelation 17. Go back to Revelation 17. So this is where this is going to be born from. Okay, Revelation 17, verse 5. Verse 5. And upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes. The mother of prostitutes. And of the abominations of the earth. Okay. Let's just talk for a moment about why she called the prostitute. I apologize to all you Southern Baptists, because all the generally Southern Baptists, they see the word prostitute and all they can think about is a woman, you know, physical, sexual prostitution. That's not what's going on here. Why is she called a prostitute and what's going on? Before, in the presence of God and in the scriptures, most of the time, things do not refer to what they do physically. We saw that Sunday morning, didn't we? Sunday morning, he talks about the leaven, and they're thinking about the bread. The disciples thinking about the bread. Oh, he's mad at us because we didn't bring bread. Literally, the things in the Bible deal with what they're talking about. Water, bread, a door. Those things we have to move into the spiritual realm and see what's going on spiritually. Not what's going on. Baptism. A lot of people have water baptism. No, there's spiritual baptism. There's a lot of different kinds of baptisms in the Bible. So you have to be able to let the Spirit show you what's going on in Scripture. This is not talking about sexual prostitution, but spiritual. And there are many multitudes, even pastors, who would never go to a prostitute and have sex. They would never do that. It would just horrify them. Yet they themselves are prostitutes. Prostituting the truth of the gospel. So let's, in closing, take a look at what's behind the concept of a prostitute. First of all, to do this, you start off with something that is wonderful. You start off with something that is wonderful. And what is wonderful? The sexual relationship and fulfillment and enjoyment between a husband and wife. So you start off with something that God has designed that is really wonderful. Sexual fulfillment, satisfaction, enjoyment between a husband and wife. Something God has built in the need of our being. And here comes someone, and in this case a woman, here comes a woman on the scene, and what is this woman going to do? She is going to sell this commodity that is so wonderful, but here comes a woman and she is going to sell her body, involvement in sex, for money. What is she doing? She is taking away what rightly belongs to another woman. She is selling what is rightfully belongs to another woman. Now, this is exactly what religion does. People, if you see what's happening, God has given to us restoration to harmony with Him, a relationship with Him. He has sent His Son on the cross to provide this. He has provided everything necessary. And all we have to do is just come to Him by faith and receive it. And here comes religion. Here comes religion selling it. And that's exactly what religion does. Religion comes along and says, oh, you got to do this. You got to do that for God. You got to do the Mosaic Law. You've got to join the church. You've got to be very good. You've got to, whatever their standards are, you've got to repent. And if you will repent, you'll be saved. If you confess, you'll be restored. If you feel sorry, God will do this for you. The prostitute comes along, religion comes along, people, and makes you work, and makes you what? Give money. As it were, work, give money, like the man would give money to the woman. Charges for what God gives free. You can see why God, that is abominable to God. Why He would use the prostitute as the type of religion, what religion is like. He's giving it to you free. It's yours. An eternal relationship with Him, a moment-by-moment relationship with Him. It's yours free. Just come and take it by faith. But the whole religion comes along and says, no, here's what you got to do. You got to work for it. You got to perform for it. And in many cases, you got to pay for it. Tithing and all this kind of thing and giving money. You got to do for God for it. And that is abominable to God. And almost all the religions and churches, I'm sorry to say, multitude of religions and churches in America and in the world today, and the Bible church movement, in denominations, they come along. And they say, you got to do something for God to be saved. And if they have the gospel correctly on how to be saved, they change it then to live a Christian life. Now you've got to do something. So they're even worse prostitutes because they go get those that are already in the, that are already married to Him, as it were, in figure. And that's why they're prostitutes. And that's why God, all the things that are going to happen. What you're going to read, if we can see it spiritually, God is doing to religion. And we've got to set aside for a moment man in the involvement of this. And we'll deal with that when we come to it. But I want you to have in your mind all the horrible things that people talk about that are going on. They're going on to religion. He's doing that to religion. Because this is what religion is doing. They're taking away from God. Or they're charging people. Making you perform for what God gives for you. It's like if we took it from the standpoint of the wife. She's there and all the husband is free. He can come in and enjoy the relationship. I'm talking about in a normal, wonderful marriage relationship. And everything is wonderful. But no, he's going to go over here and do what? Pay for it. Going to give money. We want to do that. We want to do that spiritually. We don't want to just come to God by faith. We want to work for it. We want to earn it. We want to do something for Him. And the prostitute's right there, ready to take the money. Religion's right there, ready to rake it in, control you, set up the rules, tell you all the things you got to do and do and do and do. That's the whore. That's the prostitute. Religion. It always has been. From the time of Cain, to when God puts an end to it. Any questions? Okay, we'll resume here next Tuesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace singing praises tonight of what manner of God you are. That Heavenly Father, you have given to us and provided for us all things. If we will just simply come to you and receive the things that you have provided for us by just trusting you. You have laid it out and have given to us freely, Father. And our hearts are so filled with the joy of understanding what kind of God you are that we close tonight, Heavenly Father, with the words of Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.